The Blue Rose Manuscript, by Francis Rosenfeld. In motion. Timing. The choice, judgment, or control of when something should be done.
Don't mistake timing for scheduling or planning. It is difficult to explain what timing is. Some things are easier to demonstrate than to describe. You have already encountered timing, and you take it for granted, because it is woven into the fabric of reality and occurs naturally in all the processes that work well. Its most obvious use is in music, which would not come together without tempos, measures, and counterpoints. Their planned pauses build anticipation and lead to the moment when one expects to hear the sound. We accomplish a lot of this instinctively, of course. But the fact that everybody understands the purpose of those rhythms reveals that timing is built into our being, very much like our senses are. Timing is the mental sense that helps us both create and pay attention to synchronicity. And it organizes the timeline of an event in the same way placement cards predetermine the seating of guests at a dinner table. It takes into account affinities and antipathies, common interests, and undesirable subjects, like an experienced host knows how to place everybody at the table so that people enjoy the social interaction. Imagine that you see your life from outside, in its entirety, without the blinders imposed by always being in the present. From this vantage point, it would be easy to see how rescheduling an event, or meeting a certain person, or following up on a passing interest in a subject, can put the pieces of your life together in a much better way. Unfortunately, we are all slaves to time, and these details, which are so obvious from this higher perspective, are impossible to detect in our day-to-day life. It is impossible to predict, for instance, that choosing to travel one day sooner than planned would help you avoid an accident, or allow you to meet a person who would have a positive influence on your life. Timing is a precision tool that has a huge range. It weighs frames that can run the length of a person's life with the same accuracy it can an ephemeral event, soon forgotten. Consider it a map of time itself. A very detailed map inside which you can zoom in and out as much as you want. The contents of the map are all there, but you only see the ones that show up at your zoom level.
The concept of digital maps is now so ingrained in our current mindset we can't extricate ourselves from the comparison. Evidently, the master must have been referring to something else, something which would have been familiar to his pupils, lenses, or spectacles perhaps.
Let's try an exercise. Look at all the events that happened yesterday, like you're reliving them. Picture the day in its entirety inside your mind, as if it were an object, and look at all of its components for what worked in harmony and what didn't come together. Single out all the circumstances that made either of the two situations happen and replace them with their opposites. For instance, if you were late because a vicious dog attacked you, or if you had an enjoyable chance encounter with someone, take another street and revise your day based on that. There are inherent limitations to this exercise, because we can't possibly know what would have happened if only. But one can always extrapolate from other situations when similar factors were present.
The last paragraph is very hard to read. The pigment of the ink is so diluted that the script almost blends into the background. Fortunately, the familiarity we now have with the patterns of the handwriting allowed us to fill in the gaps where the text had become unreadable. We felt necessary to incorporate this comment to clarify that the transcription of some words was subject to personal interpretation and should be read accordingly.
Now try to see all the events of the day and reorganize all its circumstances in such a way that will optimize the outcome. Most of us can't even picture what that would look like, because of our limited knowledge of all the influences involved. But if you can conceive of this, even at the level of abstraction, that is what timing is. Consider a swimmer who has to take regular breaths when their head comes above the water. In his case, even a fraction of a second makes the difference between running the distance with minimum effort or running out of air at precisely the wrong time. which breaks his rhythm and makes him tired. As I mentioned, timing is built into the fabric of the universe, and its mishaps affect everybody and everything involved in or associated with the process it relates to, like a wrong step in a perfectly choreographed dance. We can't apply it rationally. It is a talent, or an instinct. Some people have it and some, not so much. The next level of mastery requires two or more people to wield timing together. A feat which seems impossible to the untrained eye, and which is difficult to accomplish. Timing things together is an art form that requires all the members of the team to tune into each other's elusive mental rhythms, a task which bears some similarity to the way colliding waves blend into each other on the surface of a pond, or the way pendulums swing as one when placed next to each other. We will stop here and continue with questions after lunch.
The placement of this page inside the manuscript set is shifting constantly, creating a lot of inconvenience and worry about it being misplaced. One or more of the members of the research team silently disagreed on what would be the right place for it in the sequence and insisted on reorganizing the structure based on their personal opinions. To end the hassle generated by this constant foible, we agreed to put the issue to a vote which passed with a narrow margin. Unfortunately, some scholars must be still dissenting because we consistently find this writing out of place. Some of our colleagues insist that this document belongs much farther in the sequence, where a more meaningful context would make the text easier to understand. After a thorough review of the work, we have to disagree with them. We believe the in-between writing would be misinterpreted in its absence, thus altering the meaning of the entire work.
An example of timing. To search for information on a subject, you go to the library and find out that the room where you wanted to look for it is closed. So you plan to go back home, but you notice that it's raining. You go back inside to wait for the rain to stop. Enter a room you were never interested in and find what you were looking for there, only moments before the library closes. On your way home, you stumble on a cobblestone and have to stop in front of the store that sells items which will further assist in your quest. So you say that these are independent occurrences, outside your control. And to that I respond that timing is an instinct. It expresses itself as an art form, and trying to deploy it rationally is not likely to turn up meaningful outcomes. We can train it, as everybody who learned to dance with a partner knows. Could you describe in words the exact succession and tempo of the steps? No. You may be able to demonstrate it. And it requires an inborn sense for rhythm for other people to replicate your motions, and a certain level of talent in order for them to come up with their own steps. What does timing accomplish? At the fundamental level, timing allows you to be in harmony with the world around you. When you are sharing in the rhythms of your surroundings, everything works for you with ease, and for everyone else involved. If you ever tried to jump into a wave at the wrong time, you understand how wasteful it is to expend energy against the natural movements of a mechanism of which you are a part. Try to think of timing as a sense, like taste. You can't explain the taste of bread to somebody who has never had bread, not in any way that would be useful. You can offer them a piece of bread and tell them what it is, so they can recognize the taste the next time they encounter it. What can go wrong? You can pump your legs to make yourself go higher on a swing. But if you go up to high gravity starts to interfere and your swing, with you in it, behaves in unexpected and destructive ways. Beware of trying to force timing. You want the crystal goblet of reality to resonate and amplify your voice, not shatter from its shrillness. The problem with teaching concepts like this is they don't speak to the rational portion of your mind. How do you explain what style means, or vision? The understanding of terms like these has to rely on the mutual recognition inside of a group, and this opens them to the danger of sounding cliquish and obscure.
The page was found during cleaning after the library fire of 1857. We assume the rest of the manuscript was stored somewhere else at the time of the event. The extreme heat induced some of the thin marble tiles of the flooring to crack, exposing a shallow crawl space underneath. The page was hidden inside a small chest found in the crawl space, and which, we established, belongs to the same historical period. The chest is made of marquetry panels, in an exquisite combination of dark walnut and ivory, separated by golden inlays. It was supposed to have a lock, but the locking mechanism is missing. We found the key inside. We couldn't establish why this specific portion of the document was hidden, or whether the other contents of the box mean anything in relationship with it. It is unusual for a formal manuscript like this to remain unbound. We surmise the master purposefully kept the pages loose.
Often the unexpected and destructive behavior of timing manifests in what people like to call acts of God. I object to that in principle, because this associates the concept of divinity with every wrong that goes unexplained in the world. I don't have to explain to you the bitter irony of such a belief. Remember that all the happenings in the world, from the most unimportant to the ones that change history, are an inexorable series of events, compelled by the connections between them. Every effect has a cause. Sometimes the cause is obscure, generated by a system too complex for analysis. But there is always a reason for things to happen. Could one anticipate the events of the future? I will give you a long-winded answer to this question. All events bear on a plethora of factors, which together contribute to the probability of their occurrence. In theory, if you have the time, the capacity, and knowledge, you could trace the trajectory of future events with reasonable accuracy. In real life, this is not practical. But all events have a probability of happening, and the probability of some is higher than that of other. When the probability of an event is very high, it is never absolute. There is no such thing as a certain occurrence. Details and markers start pointing towards it. The more of these markers converge, the more you have to assume that the event will actually happen. Does that count as foretelling the future? I see it more like forecasting the weather. It only takes a slight shift in the wind direction for the clouds to alter course significantly. It can be useful to foresee the future when you want to avoid damage and loss due to sudden events whose markers point to a high probability, but for whom nothing in the present suggests they could occur. I decided that you and I should run an experiment together. I asked my master carpenter to make us a box. Unfortunately, the locking mechanism was supposed to arrive from the neighboring city, and it got lost along the way. So we'll have to make do without it. Think of this box as a haven for things you don't want lost or destroyed. Whatever you have that you would like to be sure will make it to the future, you may place inside it. I'll look for a good place to hide it later.
As we already mentioned, the box contains several other artifacts, the most significant of which is a quill, hidden, together with this page, under a false bottom. We identified it as one of the many used to write the text. Its uneven wear matches the characteristic slant of the handwriting. We could not connect the feather to any of the birds indigenous to the area. The plumes are unusually long and bright white, displaying no sign of aging or discoloration except for a heart-shaped purple ink stain on one side. We identified the stain as iron gull ink. The quill and the manuscript page were wrapped in a heavy canvas cloth pre-soaked in milk of magnesia. The rest of the objects seem of no special significance: a small wooden wedge, the kind that would keep a door propped open, a hand-dipped wax candle, half-burned, and a shard of marble, matching the library flooring, which must have gotten inside the box after the fire, although it is not clear to us how that could have happened. It is possible that the person who found the box opened it, hoping to find hidden treasure, and cast it aside in frustration, with the lid still open, upon discovering that it held nothing of value.